we were actually chatting off air with Mark Fitzpatrick. He is a candidate for governor in Idaho. And if that name sounds familiar, it's because on multiple occasions, the Old State Saloon has been in the news. Mark runs the Old State Saloon and is quite a personality. Mark, good morning. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, good morning. I'm glad to be on. Appreciate the time.
Well, you bet. Tell us a little bit about you. I think a lot of people certainly know who you are, but you decided to throw your hat into the ring and run for governor. Give us the background.
Yes. Well, I'm a Christian man married to my beautiful wife, Sarah. We're married 23 years. We've got 6 children. I live near Eagle in the county area in the hills, and have a few businesses. I've stood publicly for what's right and true, and I took a lot of heat for it and death threats and grief from people around the country, around the world. But I also gained a lot of fans and people who were very much in favor and support of what I was doing. A couple of the big ones were, you know, during Pride Month, instead of celebrating, you know, Pride, we decided at Old State Saloon, which is my restaurant, we decided to celebrate heterosexual awesomeness. And then a year and a half or so later, another big one that happened was we offered free beer for a month for anybody who gave information to ICE that would lead to a deportation. So both of those caused quite the ruckus and went viral. Department of Homeland Security shared my tweet, which was pretty crazy when you live in that kind of a world. But yeah, so that's what caused all the attention.
And so how is your bar doing? How is the Old State Saloon doing through all of that? Because sometimes that can make or break a business.
Well, so people said it was a bad business decision and that I'd be out of business, you know, 3 years ago. They said I'd be out of business soon if I stood publicly for, you know, political and social ideas that are conservative in nature. But what I found is that we've maybe excluded, you know, I don't know, 30, 35, 40% of the population. But however, the 60% is very excited to support us, and they'll drive by, you know, 4 or 5 different coffee shops in the morning to make sure they come to Old State Saloon for our organic coffee. But I know you did ask me, and I want to make sure I answer it. Why? So what brought me to running? But yeah and so doing all that and looking into everything and looking into all the evil and the people threatening me and all this stuff, I just kept looking more and more at truth. And this is what I'm hearing as I travel around Idaho. People are just wanting truth. Everybody's just so tired of deception and everything. I just kept looking at our government and finding bigger and bigger problems, and it just seems to operate in secrecy, especially the government, the governor's office. And I'm just a man who's fed up. Nobody was running against him. I knew I had gained that following, and I know that I want truth so badly in my life. It's just something that I've decided I'm going to wake up and fight for it every day. It's very much related to my strong belief in Jesus Christ. So in November, nobody was running. I said, hey, look, maybe I should do this. I prayed about it. My wife prayed about it. And within a month or so, it became very clear to us that that was what we needed to do.
All right. We were chatting off air before we started this interview. You just scored another sheriff's. I think this might be 4 for you. Sheriffs of individual counties in Idaho who are supporting you, which is kind of interesting because we're seeing a division amongst law enforcement following this legislative session. So why don't you weigh in, tell us who those sheriffs are and what they're telling you that you're providing that they're not getting from current government leadership?
Well, yeah, there's 4 counties, Republican committees that have endorsed me, including Kootenai County, Elmore, Nez Perce, Shoshone, and Sheriff Kendrick, Larry Kendrick out of Owyhee is endorsing me, and there's more sheriffs coming. So the 4 was for the counties, but and I hear there's more sheriffs that are going to come. I've got a few phone calls to make. But what people are wanting is, I mean, what I'm hearing everywhere is everybody saying, hey, look, we want communication. We want truth. We want the people to be involved in the government. That's exactly what I want. We are the people. And so it's taking that populism, using today's technology, using ingenuity and ideas to get people to be very involved. You know, now, if you have 10 times the amount of people involved, you don't have people like Guthrie burying bills in drawers and letting them expire, and a governor who lets them expire on a very important topic. You know, when we have seven bills that were created on immigration that need to be passed for us to be able to kind of recover and have a budget that's within reason and have Americans be able to actually achieve the American dreams and not people from another country or who are here illegally. So it's just I think people know that I'm going to stand for what's right and true no matter what. I'm so sick of cronyism. I'm so sick of deals for friends and people using the government to gain favor and power and wealth. And I just been telling people, and I know it sounds shocking. I don't mean to be shocking, but I'm just at this point in my life where I with my faith and where I'm at, that I will give up my life for what is right and true and for truth. And that's where I'm at. Being successful is not going to be anything about making money or businesses or whatever. Being successful right now is pushing back the evil that has been sown into the fabric of our society.
Mark, I want to ask you, where would you put yourself politically? And obviously, you're a conservative, and just based on a few things that you've talked about, are you a hardcore libertarian? There's some on the right who want to get rid of K-12 and our public education system, and just as an example. But where do you fall in the political spectrum? Just for our listeners who will be making a decision coming up in the next few weeks.
So if you get on and you read Idaho Republican platform, I align almost completely with that platform, and so I'm a strong Republican. As far as you brought up education, I homeschool my children. I have six children. We homeschool, and I advise people if they can do that. I believe in the parents should have the prime responsibility of raising and educating and providing for their children. And when I hear things like somebody in a teacher's union saying, you know, when you drop your kids off, they become ours, it's to me, that's truly evil and disgusting. But yeah, I'm a very, very strong Republican when you read the platform. Now, the problem is that we have a lot of Republicans that are, you know, quote unquote Republicans that actually don't align with that platform. They just claim to be Republicans, and they come in and they don't act that way. So identifying those people, their actions, exposing them, and getting them out of office so that we can have an actual Republican Party that's strong and aligned would be, you know, certainly one of my goals.
Now, if you are elected, tell us what your top two or three priorities would be. What would your first state of the state speech be about if you are fortunate enough to get elected?
Well, most policy questions and problems, they will be solved if we have swing back towards morality and truth. And so, as the governor in the governor's office, the way that is solved is through actual transparency. I kind of find it a joke that we have this transparent Idaho slogan that's been going around. It's just not true. And so my goal, and there's a lot of things I love about Trump, but he's a populist. He wants the people involved. He wants to give them information. He wants to use the people to put pressure on situations to make things happen. But my goal would be to be extremely transparent, and that from that transparency, other things will be solved. And I'll give you an example. One of the things I want to do is stand, you know, in public and invite the public at different locations around the state. And I realize that people really want to hear and see the governor from different places around the state as I go around. But I will show up and I'll stand there and I'll invite people in a public place, and they can ask me questions, and I will answer them publicly in front of a camera that we will broadcast live. Now, if you can imagine, how can things run that are corrupt if a governor's office is that much open that they would invite people every month, the people? And the reason I say that is because we have to skip the mainstream media. So much of the mainstream media, as Trump says, is just the lying mainstream media. It's just not true. It's fake news, and they don't cover. They don't ask the right questions, but the people do. The people know what questions to ask. And so that kind of transparency. I'll have a podcast that I'll bring on and invite, you know, the elected officials on so that they will have to answer tough questions. And when people know they have to answer tough questions and stand for what they've done and show the details of the deals they're trying to put together, you know, whether it's a new Facebook center that's going to take up millions of water and power, or, you know, some other deal regarding mining of silver, you know, if those deals or details are public, there's no way you can put dirty deeds in them. You know, the other thing, after being, you know, setting up the populist and the information that we will spread through decentralized media, the second thing that I really want to get on right away would be immigration. My solution for this is not to spend a whole bunch of money and to arm wrestle with sheriffs and try to get them to do things and cooperate with ICE. My solution with this is to properly pass state laws to make it illegal to employ illegals. And we will prosecute on state laws employer who employs illegals. And once that happens, nobody will employ illegals. We take away at the same time benefits, and then there will be no reason to stay. I've gone out and I've interviewed, and I have video, and I'm going to be releasing this. I've interviewed workers who admitted to me at the work site that they were illegal. And I asked them, what would happen if they weren't allowed to employ you anymore and that became illegal and there was no job? And he told me I would either go to California or I would go back to Mexico where I'm from. And so this will allow us the ability, once they leave, it will allow us the ability to grow strong and very rich and wealthy. And this country should do the same thing. Once it's strong and rich and healthy, then you can consider what is a reasonable immigration plan from that point forward. But right now, we have way too many people that have come into this country illegally, and it's become too big of a problem. We have to deal with it immediately.
Mark, you have very astutely laid out the immigration issues and how we didn't really come to any resolution in the legislative session. So clearly you think that that's something that we didn't get done this year. Above and beyond that, what else would you have liked to have seen the legislature do this year? And what did you see that was good? What were you happy with?
Well, I think that we have a big win. It's said to be a big win. You know, you have the flag coming down, and I think it represents something that's a win. I think it represents also a return to normalcy as far as the LGBTQ flag coming down in front of the mayor's office in Boise. And the press jumps on that. And I just hope it's not a distraction to help people think, oh, wow, you know, we're in a red state. We're winning. That's a win for us. That we have this flag coming down. And the reality is that it's like, look over here, you get your flag and you're a red state. Meanwhile, over here, they're not passing like the immigration bills that wind up, you know, in a drawer or something like that. And so that's the type of political theater that we don't want deceiving us. We want to make sure that the true actual, you know, work is being done. So, yeah, that's otherwise I was pretty happy with the session altogether. We do have a good group of legislators in there that are putting together great bills. I gave it a B.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Mark, really quick. And by the way, for our listeners, what is your web address?
Web address, markfitzidaho.com, Mark FITZ, because my last name is Fitzpatrick, so okay. markfitzidaho.com.
Okay. As you look at the race, of course, when you made the decision to get in, you had mentioned earlier that there wasn't really anyone running. It is now quite a crowded field. There's a number of people that are running in the race. I haven't heard a thing about a gubernatorial debate leading up to May 19th, which is just, you know, a little over a month away. What do you make of this crowded field? Because there are now a number jumping in, and that dilutes what you're going to be able to get in terms of votership.
True. It'd be distracting. And I think, who knows, maybe that's a strategy and it was organized to be that way. But I know a few of them are basically running just to get attention on one topic. We have somebody running basically to get attention on trafficking. We have another person running, I think, for the most part, to get attention on his position of wanting marijuana to be legalized. And to be clear, I stand as a no on that. And then you have a few others in there There is a debate scheduled next week, and I think everybody is showing up except Governor Little, who seems to be running a campaign similar to Biden, where he stayed in his basement. But next week, mostly everybody will be showing up on Wednesday to Stand Up for Idaho is putting on a debate in Idaho Falls. And then I have put out a public debate challenge, and the debate challenge has a crowdfund aspect to it. We have crowdfunded over $25,000 now at this point. The whole pot, that entire pot, will go to Veterans of Idaho. I will donate it all to Veterans of Idaho if Brad Little accepts my debate challenge. If he does not accept that challenge, then I will use that money instead to inform Idahoans that he turned his back on veterans and was too afraid to go to a debate with me. But that pot is growing, and you can check that out if you want to contribute to make sure that we put some pressure on him to debate. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. That's at debateforvets.com, debateforvets.com. And everybody can contribute. Imagine if we get that up to $100,000 or $200,000 and the pressure that would be on him. All he has to do is show up for 2 hours to debate me, and then veterans in Idaho would get that money.
Bold. Right.
Yeah, that is. I love it. You mentioned that you'll be here for Stand Up Idaho, meaning East Idaho. You'll be on this side of the state for Stand Up Idaho. Are there any other upcoming campaign events on this side of the state?
Well, on that side, this is where there's so many events flying around that it's hard for me to remember. But we do have a convenient place on my website under events. If at the top, if you click on events, a calendar will pop up. And it will list them all out. We will definitely be back over on the east side. I just cannot remember exactly the date right now off the top of my head.
I'm actually there. You'll be in Salmon on April 16th. I'm trying to see some other ones here. But yeah, if you just go to the website and look under events, you can find that. So
MarkFitzIdaho.com. And Fitz is spelled F-I-T-Z.
Yeah. Mark, thank you. We appreciate it. We wish you the best of luck. And when you're on this side of the state, stop in and see us. We'd love to have you on again.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. 7:46 now on News Talk 107.9. We're going to take...